We are the light of the sun. Please be seated. Well, good morning, everyone. Our first announcement for today is that I am back. For those of you who are wondering why that's a thing, as part of coming to St. James, one of my dear friends in Regina was getting married last weekend and had asked me to be the master of ceremonies at their service, and I had agreed to that years ago. And so being able to honor that commitment was just fantastic. Driving again my wife's car now back to London was also fun, so we've survived the trip above the North Shore of Lake Superior twice in 6 weeks. We came up with a new hymn. It goes, Ontario, my God, how big thou art, how big thou art. So, filling you in with the adventures that we've been having about moving to London. The first is that the ferry from South Baymouth to Tobermory is absolutely stunning. It cut off a number of hours around Georgian Bay of driving, and I got to be on a boat. So that was awesome. If you haven't done it, highly recommended. The next adventure that I've been having is with license plates. Saskatchewan, you don't need a license plate on the front of your car. Ontario, you do. So finding how to get the frame attached to the front of your car and the screws that you need to put in and do you screw things through your bumper that then changes the structural integrity, it has been a wild adventure of getting two license plates on a car that was only made to have one. But I've got zip ties and I think I have a solution, so. Wonderful. Church announcements. There are Thanksgiving letters for everyone that you can get after the end of the service. And we've got a couple of announcements. I think Steve is first.
Thank you, Michael, and good morning, everyone. As many of you know, our wonderful church is celebrating its 150th anniversary this coming October. And in conjunction with a number of people in the parish, we've got some ideas and some plans for a gala weekend. We'd like you to reserve the dates right now. It's the weekend of October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. What we have planned is a gala dinner and cabaret entertainment in our hall on the Friday night, October 20th, and Saturday, October 21st. Tickets will be available starting next week. We're going to have very limited seating, so we're going to try to run the same program both nights on the Friday and Saturday. On Sunday of that anniversary weekend, we'll have a special anniversary service in the morning, and in the evening, we have the induction service for Father Michael. So we're looking forward to both of those celebrations. In the afternoon, as our church's gift to the neighborhood and the community, we're going to sponsor a mini concert with the Amabile Singers, and that will be free to everyone. We'll open the doors once again, as we did last weekend, and invite people to come and listen to the beautiful music early in that afternoon, and that'll be our gift from the parish to the neighborhood. So if you want more information or have some questions, please see me after the service, but we'll have tickets available and a whole roster of events for you by next week. So October 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Thanks so much, everybody.
Julie would like to come up to talk about doors open in that weekend, but while she's making her way up, Barb.
Hello, I just wanted to address the elephant that's not in the room. So the big screen is gone now. These are our new screens, but the stands are temporary. So the stands that we are supposed to be using, the TV will come up to here on me, so it's higher than that, just so you know, because they're low. And at the moment, we only have one working, but we will have three next week, I'm hoping. The other thing is, if there's any feedback on the size of the lettering, it's a work in progress. So if there's something you can't read, then let us know and we will work on that. Okay?
Good morning. I just wanted to tell you all about, many of you were here, but for those who weren't, we had a really successful doors open last week, Saturday and Sunday. We had over 300 people come in through the church. We had volunteers throughout the church serving meals, playing music. We had a play going on here, and we had lots of tour guides to share with folks what was happening in the church. And some of the signage is still here. The displays are still in the Great Hall, and they will be up through our anniversary weekend next month. So I just want to thank all the volunteers that came out. We had over 30 volunteers throughout the weekend. And I also want to thank the committee that did a lot of the research and the planning. And that included Mary Lou Anderson, Libby Clifford, Harold Ford, Donna Hefferton, Wayne McPherson, Janice Main, Steve Main, Patrick Ryan, John Seislin, and myself. So thanks to all of those folks.
Land acknowledgement for St. James. We at St. James Westminster acknowledge the history of the First Nations people who inhabited and used the land on which this church stands. These are the traditional beaver hunting grounds of the Algonquin, Haudenosaunee, and Attawandaron Neutral peoples. And the long-standing Indigenous groups of this region are the Anishinaabe peoples, the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, and the Lenni Lenape peoples. Our church is situated in close proximity to the Chippewa of the Thames First Nation, Oneida Nation of the Thames, and Muncie Delaware Nation. While territories represent the political and legal boundaries of nations, we also wish to uphold our common stewardship of creation and our common connection to the land as the birthplace of our humanity. We respect our place on Turtle Island, and we appreciate the deep relationship she has with her First Peoples, and we understand our responsibility to one another as we move forward in love and peace.
As part of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission that was struck to work on improving relationships with First Nations and settler peoples, a document was produced called the 95 Calls to Action. One of those calls to action was directed directly at the church, and that was to begin services with an acknowledgement of the people that were here. I think the fact that it's truth and reconciliation calls very much to the heart of what it means to be Christian. For Christ himself came to earth to reconcile us to our God and to each other. And so we take this step this morning in the spirit of reconciliation and in the spirit of Christ. I'd invite the congregation to stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open.
All desires known, and your unknown secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have created the heavens and the earth, and ourselves in your image. Teach us to discern your hand in all your works, and to serve you with reverence and thanksgiving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Creator God, Master of life and great mystery, of peace, justice, and concord, open our ears and our eyes, our lungs and our hearts. Give us the spirit of condolence. Instill in us the good mind. Let us seek your justice in a broken world. Let us search for understanding in your creation. Help us to be reconciled to you and to each other. In the self-giving ethic of the cross, let us be emptied of hatred and apathy, greed and selfishness. Fill us with the wideness and wildness of your spirit. In the name of your first Son, Jesus Christ, we ask all this. Amen. Please be seated for a reading from Holy Scripture.
A reading from the book of Philippians. To me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon the divine name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the peoples. Sing to the Lord, sing praises, and speak of all the marvelous works of the Lord. Holy name, let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Search for the strength of the Lord. Continually seek the face of God. Remember the marvels the Lord has done, the wonders and the judgments of the mouth of the Lord. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. For you, O God, remembered your holy word, and Abraham your servant. So you led forth your people with gladness, your chosen with shouts of joy.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out at about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. When he went out again at about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked for only an hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I gave to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
May the words of my lips and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So I have to tell you, one of my favorite things about the way Jesus teaches is that he teaches in parables. Stories can be timeless. They can endure from age to age, from generation to generation. Fairy tales, I grew up listening to them, and I know I will tell them to my children and their children. There's something timeless about a story that can communicate a message, can communicate truth about how things are in the world, that connects to a deep core of unmovable, unchangeable reality. The other thing that I don't like about Jesus' teachings is that he tells stories. And by that, he doesn't tell us clearly what he's trying to say. He leaves it for interpretation. And I've got to say, re-listening to the story this Sunday, the story of the generous landowner, I think, if I'm being really honest with you, I'm on the side of those first workers. Does anybody else feel that too? I see a couple hands in the back. Absolutely. How on earth would you feel if you had been working all day under the scorching heat and you get paid the same as somebody who showed up an hour ago? Aren't we told that God is fair and God is loving? That's not fair for somebody to work less than someone else and to receive the same. That doesn't seem right. But here's where the good thing about stories come in. Because when we read those stories, we naturally put ourselves into somebody's shoes. For me, it's those workers who've been working a hard, long day. But somebody in this congregation might actually put themselves in the shoes of those who were chosen last. And for them, the story has a completely different meaning. It has a completely different interpretation. It's about the generosity of God. It's about, I barely did anything, and yet still receive so much. That's a good message. Maybe we put ourselves in the shoes of the landowner. Because if you think about it, if I was owning a vineyard, say in Niagara-on-the-Lake, and I didn't have permanent employees, I've been to Niagara-on-the-Lake, it is beautiful. So if I was out needing some employees, typically what happened in Jesus' time is they went into town and anybody who needed a job was hanging around. And so as a landowner, I would go into town and I would look and see who would be the person I'd like to hire for the day. Oh, here's a young strapping lad with big muscles. Yeah, let's get this guy. He's gonna work hard for that day. Here's somebody else who's doing well. Oh, here's somebody who has a limp. They're not gonna work quite as hard. It's not gonna be quite worth it. So I'm gonna skip over them and I'm gonna ask another able-bodied hard worker all the way around to do this. And that tends to be those who were chosen first. And so I wonder if this story that we hear today is more about God's valuing of people than it is about people's valuing their own work. If God was to go and say, okay, everyone gets the same wage. If you notice the complaint of the hard workers, well, there is some grumbling that I should get more, but their complaint to the landowner is that you've made those other people equal to us. You've made those others equal to us. Can you imagine that? Being someone strong and able-bodied, working the whole time, and being told that this person with a physical deformity or a mental condition is the same value, the equal. As Christians, we recognize a deep fundamental truth about the kingdom of God in that. And that is, we are all created in the image of God. We are all created in the image of God. From the little one coloring things on the radiator, to the deacon sitting in the front row, to those who won't even come in this door and might spit on the grounds because the church has hurt them, those stuck in the hospital, all of us are equally valued, for we are all equally created in the image of God. Holding up the equality of our createdness, the equality of God's love for us, is a beautiful and wonderful and powerful thing. And I really wish that is where I could end today's sermon. But it's not. Today we celebrate Orange Shirt Day. If you know the story of Orange Shirt Day, it comes about from one little First Nation girl who was given the gift of an orange shirt, a gift lovingly given by her mother. And when she went to school, it was taken away unceremoniously because she stood out, in some ways because it made her unequal to the others. And in a sense, to make everything equal, if equality is the virtue, then taking it away to our base root, surely that's good. But we know it's not. The longer I live, the more I experience in life, the more I'm convinced God is not a God who takes away things. God doesn't take away our problems. God doesn't take away our hurts or our sorrows or our medical conditions or you name it. God is a God who adds things. The cross is a terrible symbol of shame and suffering and death. And God added his son to it to make it beautiful. In our lives, God adds things to it so that we see God's action, God's presence in our lives in a way that takes the old pain, hurt, and suffering and makes it radically and beautifully new. I see that in the celebration of Orange Shirt Day. Because what was taken away from one person so that they would be equal, God now has, in a way, transformed. And instead of taking away a shirt to make equality, invites all of us to wear an orange shirt to elevate that specialness, to elevate that love. When we value equality as human beings, sometimes it's easy to hit the nail that's sticking out down, to take the thing that's different and try to make it the same. But that's not what God does. God elevates and adds uniqueness and creativity to all of his creation. And so our challenge today, on the day that we received these readings, on this Orange Shirt Day that we celebrate, is to add the love of God, the love that God has poured into us to a point that it overflows into the world, to add the love of God into situations of pain and suffering and sadness, so that a real transformation can take place. As we recognize the harms and the past, the hurts and the broken relationships and need for reconciliation that we have with our First Nations brothers and sisters, let us know that our task is to add to that relationship, to add and be a part of it in our own unique and special way, so that together we can walk in the light of God and recognize the truth that we are all treaty people, whatever that means. As I close this sermon, let us remember that equality isn't the end goal. It's equality through the building up of all. Amen. I invite the congregation to please stand. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God. I'd invite the congregation to assume a position of prayer.
Let us come with openness to express our concerns for the church and the world to the God of compassion and gracious understanding. Loving Father, whenever we start to get offended by your generosity or open-mindedness, give us the grace to repent and join your rejoicing. Guard the church against self-righteousness and all rules and limits which you would not own, but keep us all before us the rule of love. Not our will, but your will, Lord, be done. Loving Father, increase in us love not only for the victims, but for the perpetrators of evil and violence in our world, for all governments which run on corruption and fear. We pray that a change of heart and attitude, an awakening to a better way of living, and the courage to reject wrong principles. Not our will, but your will, Lord, be done. Loving Father, may our closeness to family and friends make us never exclusive, shutting others out, but always inclusive, welcoming others in. Encourage us in outgoing hospitality and keep us from becoming possessive of those we love. Not our will, but your will, Lord, be done. Loving Father, we pray for all offenders in prison, that on release they will not reoffend, but find enough support to start a new life in the community. We pray for all who are vulnerable and unable to cope with the demands of life, for alcoholics, drug addicts, and all who are sick in mind. We pray for proper, compassionate help for them. Not our will, but your will, Lord, be done. Loving Father, we pray for those who have died alone, unmourned and unnoticed. We pray for those who have committed suicide or have died in accidents of their own making. We commend them to your merciful love. Not our will, but your will, Lord, be done. Father, the needs and concerns of all who suffer are our concern through love. We stand alongside them in prayer and remember especially Sylvia Brightwell, Eunice Smith, and Liz Bailey. Loving Father, thank you for helping us to pray. Deepen our loving so that as we pray through this week, we may do it with your heart of compassion. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
My dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess
that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, our love we have done, and our love we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways.
Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, appearing to his disciples after his death and resurrection, said to them, "My peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let us share Christ's peace with one another. The peace of the Lord be always with you." Let us pray. God of power, the glory of your works fills us with wonder and awe. Accept our offering this day and help us to live in peace and harmony with all your creation. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shed our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you. And so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and give up his life on the cross, that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your holy church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth. that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
I am the bread of life, says the Lord. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never thirst.
Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are they who trust in
him. Thank you.
Let us pray. Ruler of the universe, all creation yearns for its fulfillment in your Son. May we who have shared in holy things grow into maturity in him. Amen. Glory to God, whose power
leads us to be infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation to infinite to Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen.
And may the God of infinite goodness scatter the darkness of sin and brighten your hearts with holiness. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Our service of worship comes to a close, but our service to each other and to God's world now begins renewed and refreshed. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
If you're wearing an orange shirt, we'd love to get a picture of everybody at the bottom of the stairs. Come on up.